Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Negotiate Your Soul Contract. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Nicholas David Nang. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Nicholas a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted through the peopleyoushouldmeet.com site prior to the call. Now, I first met Nicholas probably around 6 to 8 months ago through a very dear friend of mine, Louise Langley, who has been a regular guest on the People You Should Meet program. And when I first got chatting to Nicholas, his passion for soul contracts and consciousness and the evolution of humanity absolutely fascinated me, and we instantly had a very, very deep connection, and our friendship over the last 6 months has continued to deepen, and I've certainly had the opportunity to learn more about the incredible work that he does in the world, and it's very, very, very exciting work. Now, I also personally had my own first soul contract reading a couple of weeks ago with Nicholas's partner at the Center for Conscious Ascension, Almira, and I absolutely found it to be one of the most profound readings that I've had, and really illuminated lots of interesting things for me and my own soul journey and soul destiny as well. So it was a very, very powerful model and system for really investigating what it is you're here to do here on planet Earth. Now, Nicholas has actually been responsible for bringing this whole body of work with the soul contract reading to the UK, and now offers readings and also trainings in the whole system of understanding the soul's journey here on planet Earth, and it's incredibly powerful work. And without further ado, it gives me very, very special pleasure to welcome to the call Nicholas David Nang. How are you doing there, Nicholas?
Thanks, Damien. Yeah, I'm doing good today, and thank you for inviting me on the show. I've been really looking forward to this call for weeks, and just to share this amazing work, which I've been developing for the past 18 years here in the UK, or 19 actually, and just hope to shine a bit of light for people this evening.
Great. Well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the call. Now, I thought I'd start you at the very top, Nicholas, by asking you, what exactly is a soul contract and how does it work?
Okay. The soul, each of us has a soul. It's a divine essence. It's spirit embodied. And prior to coming to Earth, and if you believe in past lives, we spend quite a bit of time not in a body. We spend our time in the form of spirit, which is just pure consciousness on other dimensions. And what happens is that the soul on the higher dimensions decides to incarnate, to have an experience of going to sleep, to have an experience of forgetting its spirit, forgetting that it's part of all that is, part of the divine intelligence, so that it can actually, through that experience of what we call life, re-experience itself as all that is. And so what it does is it needs to set in place a context once it's embodied, so it has something to work with down here when we're actually in a physical body. And the first thing it does is it sets in place the energy so that we forget that we actually are part of all it is. And then life sort of starts, and most of us here feel, what's actually going on? What's the meaning of life? This is such a strange place, and trying to figure out this life thing. And so just prior to incarnating, the soul looks at all its previous experience, especially previous lives, and it takes guidance from more evolved beings, and it decides to how it will design the lifetime. And it will choose the genetic structure, a time zone, a country, a culture, and different relationships, specific experiences it wants to have while embodied. And it basically creates all these through the sound of the birth name, the name on the birth certificate, in whatever language of the culture it decides to incarnate in. And because sound is creative, you know, in the Bible they say, you know, in the beginning there was the Word, which was literally means the sound of God. And so in setting in place a birth name, at the what happens is that once the soul incarnates at the point of incarnation, at point of conception, what happens is that the soul, it telepaths or to the mum and the dad what it would like to be called. And most of the time, parents get this right. And once they put that name on the birth certificate, the contract is fully activated. And they, you know, most of the people have heard of the law of attraction. And so this is actually the programming of each individual's law of attraction, of what they're actually going to manifest for themselves. And this contract sits in the DNA and it radiates out to the reality. If for those of you seen The Matrix, this is a little mini disc that that runs in The Matrix, but this is for real here. And so what happens is that then draws to you all the contextual experience that the soul wants to have so that it can re-experience itself as all that is. And so within that, there's two primary components of the way we create our life. And there's a physical one and a spiritual one. And we spend the first five cycles of 7 years working through the physical stuff primarily. And then between the ages of 35 and 42 or earlier, the sixth cycle, we start to move towards a spiritual orientation. But this can happen earlier, and all the different parts are happening at once, but the emphasis is initially physical to get grounded here because the personality is brand new. And then as the personality gets stronger and grounded and established here, we move on to the spiritual part, which is why people have a midlife crisis between about 35 and 42, because the soul was saying, okay, I've landed here, I've got myself established, let's get on with the real reason for being here. And so we all face challenges in life, you know, that stuff that keeps happening. You know, same old thing happens, same type of people turn up, same situations, and we wonder, well, why doesn't it just go away? You know, I just had enough of that. And so what we're dealing with here is what we call our karmic patterns. This is a set of, this is not anything bad or anything, it's just part of the context. It's often past life issues which we bring through to resolve this time, unresolved issues. And so they're sort of like something to hone our, what we call latent talents against, to build strength in our personality. And as we start to overcome them, we get stronger. And then we start to move on to what we call our goals or our dream. Everyone has a dream in their life deep down. And the soul is trying to aspire to achieve that through the personality. And we have these karma and these talents and these goals, or we call them challenges and abilities and drives, if you like, in both the physical realm of our life and the spiritual realm of our life. And as we start to work through all of these, because it's all happening at once, the life starts to form and we draw specific experiences to us in that context to overcome. And the product of all those different six different aspects is what we call the soul destiny, the overall purpose for being here, you know, the meaning of life. It's not 42, as Douglas Adams said in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's actually very specific to each being here. And a soul has a very specific context, like it might want to, which it wants to come into, like it might want to, for example, learn all about power, the proper use of power. So it may come into a situation where it has a very disempowering childhood experience, so it can come into its power. Or someone may be very shy initially, but they actually had to overcome that communication block to become a communicator or a teacher. Someone may be very ungrounded initially, but they had to become totally grounded and present. So we come in with the opposite of what we're here to achieve or here to experience as part of remembering that we are all that is. So that's sort of, and then what the soul contract reading work does is that it basically converts the name on the birth certificate to phonetic Hebrew, and then out of that we generate a set of Hebrew numbers, because Hebrew numbers and sounds are the same energy. And out of that combination of numbers, we can then decode all those aspects I've just been talking about, the karmic patterns, the talents, the goals, the soul destiny, the overall reason for being here. And it's very specific, and so we can basically unravel the whole contract and see what an individual is actually creating for themselves. So basically we get a roadmap of the lifetime, which, as you know, once you've got your, it's a bit like spiritual sat-nav, once you've got that, it's a lot easier to get on with life, because most of us, I felt totally lost until I had my reading.
Yeah.
I felt totally lost. I didn't, all this weird stuff was happening. I couldn't work it out until Frank Alper, my teacher of this work, who channeled us originally, explained it all in an hour. Then it was like the light bulbs went on. Ah, this is very totally clear. And then I could actually get on with my life with that.
Mm.
That's sort of a summary of how, of the essence of how this works.
Mm. Oh, I really like the analogy of the spiritual sat-nav. It's actually very, very powerful. Look, I know as I've sort of been navigating my own life, that there's been periods of time where I've been totally lost, totally confused, continually repeating the same, seemingly the same mistakes over and over and over again. And it's almost like there's that willingness or a hope that that particular problem will just go away unaddressed, but for whatever reason, it just keeps coming back and back. So it was just very, very interesting to hear you share about the karmic patterns as well and how we bring them through. And they're actually the things to strengthen us and to really bring our latent talents and abilities into this world.
Yeah, you see, a lot of people feel that life is hard because the stuff happens, but actually it's all about putting it in perspective. The karmic stuff is not due to punishment, okay? On the higher dimensions, there is no punishment. It's just a context for us to overcome, and when we see it like that, and if we can get consciousness on what that actually context is and then take actions in the opposite direction, then we can overcome that, then it stops repeating itself. But things often repeat, but to finer levels as we work through our karmic patterns until one day most of it's gone and then we can keep moving forward. But the main thing is not to feel it's been done to us, that actually we, at a very deep level, from our core soul essence, have created all of this. And so on that basis, once we at a feeling level start to believe that and feel it, and that's really who we are, then we can start to change our lives. So that's actually how we start to negotiate our soul contract, negotiate our way through it so we don't get the same old stuff happening again. And we start to create the life we actually do really, really truly desire, which everyone wants.
Great. And I was just wondering if you could actually share a little bit more about your journey, Nicholas, and how you actually arrived at the work of soul contracts and how you actually found your way to working with Frank as well.
Well, I was traveling around the world for a couple of years, actually, and I ran into someone who introduced me to the work of Frank Alper. And he's unfortunately no longer with us. He's transitioned. And I was really strongly drawn. I discovered eventually we had a very strong soul connection to go to his trainings in the States. And so I wasn't working a normal corporate job in London, but feeling after a while that it was a very interesting job. It was in communications, which is what I'm into now. But it was very good for a while, and then I got restless. I got very restless. This was at the age of about 35, right on time. Okay. And very restless by 35. And by the time I hit 37, it was like, I got to get out of here. I can't handle being in a suit and doing all this stuff and working with people I don't like, and I just couldn't do it. And I was on holiday, and it just came to me like, I've got to leave this. I've got to stop. And so I've been going to the States, learning all these different spiritual tools, healing and soul contract work, and how to run groups, and then sort of part-time. And then it came to me like, actually, I can't do my job anymore. I've got to do something else. And it took me a little while to work out, actually, I meant to take this, all the sort of stuff which I was doing on the side, the spiritual work, and do it full-time. And that's how I started. I just took what was a hobby, just a really strong interest, and started to turn it into a business, which was much more of my passion. And that's how I started the Centre for Conscious Ascension. It wasn't called that at the time, but that's how I started this business in London. And I started giving readings to people because my reading from Frank had been so profound that I wanted to share it with others. It was really important because if someone can tell me that much truth in such a short period of time and profoundly changed my life. I'd like to share that with others. That's how it started, really, Damien, and it's just grown from there, really. And I've probably done, 1,200 readings or more since then.
Wow.
Started to teach, and I've started to teach quite a few people actually how to deliver the readings as well. So I just wanted to get the truth out there, get more consciousness out there for people so they can get on with their lives. That's essentially how the whole thing started. It was just from my own profound personal experience of it.
That actually rang very, very true for me as well, having sort of begun my career in the corporate world, and I just really resonated with the fact that I could no longer pull on a suit anymore, and I guess all the things that were sort of bubbling away inside me that wanted to be expressed in the world, it just got to the stage where they just absolutely had to be expressed. So like, I really resonated with you sharing that whole notion of being restless and wanting to step into something bigger and something that's really going to contribute to humanity as well.
Yeah, I wanted to move away just from meeting other people's bottom lines to actually being of service, to actually making a difference. And being of service is a very strong thing for me, and raising consciousness, that was more important to me. And just being able to be myself, that was really important.
Mm-hmm. Now, with 1,200 or so readings under your belt, you must have seen some pretty remarkable transformations in the clients that you've worked with as well.
Yes, some people can arrive often quite lost in their lives. When they have a reading, they're usually gobsmacked some of the time, even often a lot of the time, because someone has actually seen them for the first time. And when people hear the truth of their life, which they may not have shared with even those closest to them, and they've been their story's been told, then they fully acknowledge and engage with that story, and they own it. We often deny many parts of ourselves, what we call the shadow parts of ourselves, because some of them we judge ourselves and feel that, oh, I just don't want to bring that out. I just can't handle that. But when we actually acknowledge all parts of ourselves, it's very freeing to acknowledge the truth of who we are. Then we can take where we are and move forward. And that's what people often do, because they see where they're to go. They're no longer lost, and they can see, okay, this is what my soul wants me to do. It's offering me the option, so I, at a conscious level, will take that choice, and I'll move forward. And then they start to work towards moving into alignment with where the soul wants to go. And the reason life is, quote, so hard is because we're often out of alignment with where the soul wants to go. And once we understand the spiritual satna, where it does want to go, then things flow more easily. It's called being in the flow, as some people say, or going with the flow. And then things turn up, people turn up, situations turn up, and it all just, life just starts to happen, because we're connected to more to ourselves. And so as we connect more to that higher consciousness part of us, life becomes much more joyful. We stop looking like the people on the rush hour going into London on the train. I call them the grey people. I do that occasionally to see what's happening, and it's not the greatest experience.
Mm.
And so people can move into a more joyful experience of life rather than feeling like it's sort of pressuring them into a small box, and that they have no choice, and they feel powerless, that there's nothing they can do about it. So this is about empowerment and grabbing the spiritual set. Then, okay, I know where to go, and I know what I need to do. And then it's exciting. Life's an adventure. It's great to wake up in the morning. And I get some great feedback from people. I say, it's just totally got me to where I want. And I'm manifesting my dream, and I thought I'd never do that. And it's really heartwarming to hear that.
Mm. Absolutely. And did you have any specific stories of clients who've stepped into profound understanding of their being here on planet Earth?
Yeah, I had one client who comes to mind, and she was stuck in a very difficult relationship, and she knew she had to leave her husband. And she had three children, and it was a very big load, and she wanted to be a writer and a poet, and she was really desperate. And so we looked at what was going on in her contract, and we could see how it created all the situation. She wasn't feeling good enough about herself, so she couldn't leave, etc. And then so we optimized her name so she had the power and the groundedness. We gave her we gave her a new name, which infused new energies into her birth name frequencies. It's like sort of, you can think of someone's birth name like the cake of their life. It's their cake of their life, and if they have a different name, if you optimize and produce the right sort of name, it's like a different layer of icing on the cake, and it can work, help you work through the karmic aspects, especially, and get to the goals and ground the talents or enhance the talents and move to the soul destiny or soul purpose much more easily. And we did that for her, and she said to me that her life has totally transformed. She left her husband. She got onto a creative writing course at university. She got mentored by some of the best people in the, you know, in the writing business, and she's like becoming a professional writer and poet. And she met another man. She drew to her another writer who really supported her, who's her new partner. Her life totally turned around, and she just couldn't believe it. And that was just from changing her name, which she sort of used religiously. And she was just so happy. She'd gone from the depths of despair to like total joy in her life.
Wow, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, I like the analogy there as well, like with the cake and the name being the icing as well. Just a really nice way of phrasing it.
Yeah, and each sort of significant relationship we have is a different layer of icing on that cake, and each different name we use is like a different layer of icing that helps, enriches our lives. And you know, we create, we have already contracted to draw the specific people to us, the significant people in our lives before we incarnate, so they can help us grow or provide a challenging context in some cases so that we can work through that challenge to grow stronger. So each relationship, even though it may not seem that time as a gift, really, in terms of our soul progression, in terms of its experience here.
Great. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, Nicholas, I've got a whole series of different questions that have come in from all around the world. And I thought I might actually kick us off with Mark, who is in South Africa. And Mark asks, is a soul contract programmed into us at birth, which is unchangeable, i.e. predestined, or is it something we are free to choose and renegotiate several times during our life? Fundamentally, how do we recognize the truth about our contract, and how do we know that we are on track?
So the first part of the question, yes, there is a predestined experience the soul has put in place, but it's we are, however, free to engage with that experience. You know, we call it spiritual free will, in whatever way we feel appropriate, whatever feels right, because the soul is actually putting us, we at a personality level are an experiment in consciousness, and the soul doesn't quite know what's going to happen, because if it did, it wouldn't create us the way we were. It just wants to see what will happen, so it sort of sits back and lets us get on with it, really. And so we can negotiate that contract, work our way through it in whatever way feels right. And it can be quite tortuous at times, easy at other times. All right. And so the way of recognizing the truth is to, well, obviously have the find out what is actually in our contract, which and when we hear that and resonate with it, then we know, yes, that's the truth of what's actually happening, even though I don't like a lot of it and it's been painful sometimes. And we can also reveal what the goals are in the contract, what the deepest drives are, which someone may have never shared with anyone else. And the way we can see how we are on track with the contract is how far we've progressed through the karmic issues, the challenges, and how far we've got with our goals. So basically it gives us very specific areas in our life we need to work on. It could be, for example, working on feeling more worthy, working on our self-esteem. It could be about grounding and learning how to connect with people. It could be about coming into our power more. And we can actually see, or how well am I doing on that? Have I been very grounded this week? Have I been very empowered with my boss at work? Have I been good at communicating clearly, or did I have a total mess up with someone? So once we know the truth of our contract, then we basically have a waypoint in navigation terms of say, okay, we're here and we sort of got a bit more to go here, and today's a good day for doing this and other days aren't so good.
Great. Okay, that's an excellent question from Mark. Now, I'm just going to ask a question from Laura. And Laura's in the UK. And Laura asks, do you feel that soul purpose is an inner state of being that we wanted to reach in this lifetime, or an achievement out in the world through embodying the inner state of purpose slash being? Can that outer manifestation therefore change form as we evolve, or is it something we absolutely have to achieve karmically?
Well, soul purpose, or soul destiny as we call it, with this work is, the inner and outer states of being are one and the same thing, really. So the state we're on the inside will be mirrored to us in the external reality, in the matrix, because that's what we're putting out there. And so as we work through all the different aspects, the karma, the talents and the goals within the physical and spiritual aspects of our contract, the soul purpose, we get closer and closer to manifesting the soul purpose. So, for example, we may become gradually more empowered in more areas of our life as we work on different parts of ourselves consciously. Then that will manifest out in the world, and that we may have had a lot of disempowering experiences, for example, when we were younger. We may have had a difficult time at school with our parents. We may stand our ground, set good boundaries. And as we start to do that and get better at it, we'll find people will respect our power, listen to us out in the outer world as well. So they are one and the same thing. And it's an invitation on the soul's part to engage with the moving towards the soul purpose or destiny, and it's not something you have to do, but actually it's a choice, really. It's a choice to engage with our true path or not, and often souls will go through many incarnations doing the same pattern, because at a personality level the ego personality wasn't able to work through the context enough. Maybe it didn't have enough consciousness, maybe the conditions were too difficult at the time. So, but it is a choice. Okay.
Great. Now, with the choice, like I know lots of people, when they're sort of confronted with that choice, they may actually back away from it. And I know people who've made that choice actually also just experience challenges after they've made that choice. Now, I was just wondering, with the evolution of the soul and the challenges that come, one of the things that you actually mentioned there was the closer you get to manifesting your soul's purpose. Often in the things that I've seen as well, people actually get bigger and bigger challenges to meet as they progress along. Is that something you've noticed as well, Nicholas?
Yeah, what happens is that everyone's heard of the law of attraction, where you focus on and be grateful for and give good feeling towards what you want to attract in your life. But the one thing that's not talked about so much is what's called the law of opposites, which also activates at exactly the same time. Because what happens is that as you start to create what you desire, the universe will then give you the opposite initially. Because all it's trying to do is not take away what you want to desire. It's actually creating a strong enough context so you can see, is this what I really want? Is this where I really want to go? Okay, but a lot of people misinterpret that as the thing that, oh, I'm not meant to do it, or there's too much resistance there, and they feel that the door is closed on them, and they're only 1% away from getting what they really desire. But actually what's happening is that the door is actually open. Okay, so what they need to do is keep moving towards what they desire. Then they'll find that the seeming resistance will just melt away, then they will have what they desire. I'll give you an example. I was trying to buy a new car, or a second-hand car, and I had a particular model that I wanted to get, and I had a fixed budget. I looked at a couple of them, and I came to this one which is a totally trashed-out car. It looked good in the ad, and I thought, what am I doing wrong here? This car's been smoked, and it's been really... the upholstery's destroyed. It's not saleable. I got really down on it. And then I remembered the law of opposites, and I thought, this is the worst situation it could possibly be in, so I must be really close. So then I perked up, and I was on the Auto Trader website, and I found And I focused on, I want, you know, a car in perfect condition, as best you can in a second-hand car of this specification. And then I just clicking on it late at night, after I got back looking at the other one, thinking, okay, I'll have a go after focusing what I wanted. And there it was, pristine condition, same price. You know, one lady driver, and I rang this guy up. I got there at 10 past 9 the following morning, and there were 10 other guys behind me. And I got that car. So within about 8 hours of seeing the trash one, I got the perfect one, because I keep walking through that door. I didn't allow the law of opposites to stop me, because I could have just gone away and sulked for a week and think, oh, I've missed the boat. I'm never going to get this car. So that taught me a lot. It showed me that not to panic when seeming resistance is there, when I'm going for what feels right in my heart. So when we do that, we actually get what we desire. And so that's why people sometimes say the law of attraction doesn't work, is because they pull back at the last minute. They didn't keep going towards what they wanted, because they let the opposite context, which was coming up, take over. When they should have stayed with what was in their heart, then it would have turned up. It would have turned up. But it's also a function of how much unconscious programming you have in you, which is trying to stop what's coming to you. So that needs to be worked on as well. Because what the soul contract work does is it enables you to specifically target the subconscious emotional programming we carry in ourselves, which is part of the contract, which is creating our life. And it's to get what we truly desire, we actually need to consciously go in and clear that programming. Because you might want that Ferrari or whatever you want, but if you feel deep inside you're unworthy, even if you have a program of unworthiness inside, which you can or can't feel, if you can't access that and clear it, you're never going to get that car. Okay? That's one thing they don't talk about much. But the soul contract work enables you to pinpoint what is the programming creating things the way they are, so then you know what to work on in your own self-healing, awakening, and empowering process.
Great. And in terms of clearing programming, what have you found to be the best ways of actually interrupting these programs and clearing them so things can manifest more abundantly, more synchronistically, and a whole lot quicker as well?
Well, I've worked with lots of different sort of healing techniques, but the key thing is to be able to emotionally thaw out and feel the programming inside us and be present with it, and just to let go of judgment of it, because that's actually what holds it in. And to use different people have different preferred healing modalities, but to use an emotional healing modality that's going to clean that programming out. What we use is a system called Divine Healing Master Key, which my partner Almira and two other very experienced friends and colleagues of ours have developed, which is where we connect to the higher self, and that actually enables us to diagnose what's the core programming that the soul's laid in place to actually create the situation. And then once we understand what that is, we can then dismantle that using different command codes and different. There's many different ways in, but basically we can peel the programming out like peeling out an onion. And so the idea of that is basically ask and it shall be given. Ask for it, feel it, acknowledge it, let go of judgment, then ask for it to be cleared, and another that layer will be cleared. And as we clear more layers, it gets easier and easier, because the matrix of programming holding us in the way we are starts to dismantle. It's like dismantling a big woolly jumper. You start pulling enough threads out, the whole thing starts to collapse. And so all that ego programming that's held us in a certain way starts to disappear, and then life gets a lot easier. So that's how I do it personally. And you know, we do sessions in that as well. But each individual's got to find the modality that works for them.
Right.
And that's the one to go for, really. So.
Cool. Excellent. That's a great answer. Okay, we chatted a little bit earlier on, Nicholas, about the whole idea of name optimization. And this question from Nora in the UK actually follows along those lines. And Nora asks, I changed my name from Nora to Noreen some time ago. Have I inadvertently altered my path in doing so?
Yes, Nora, you have. But you need to look at what was the form of the... what was the birth name? What was your cake like initially? What was the form of the cake with the name you're using with Nora? Because you might have had you might not have used your middle name, for example. What was that overlay of icing doing on your birth name? How was that enhancing you or holding you back? And then when you go to Noreen, we see what that layer of icing does. So it will resonate with what's actually gone on in your life, and we'll see, you know, where it's taken you. We get drawn to use certain names at certain times as part of our growth, sometimes to hinder us, sometimes to enhance us. It just depends what goes on. But if we can bring consciousness to that and see, well, what are the optimal aspects that are, what are optimal frequencies that are needed, because we use 22 Hebrew letter frequencies in the system, which have very specific energies that create specific, that transmit in certain specific ways. That, for example, they might create a feeling of empowerment. They may infuse groundedness. They may infuse focus. If we can get the correct, or the optimal flow of energies to move the karmic patterns and move the goals and ground the mission here, or the purpose, then life happens a lot more easily. But it also depends on what someone's been through in their life as well. Say they had a very hard life, and we may need to infuse specific frequencies to catalyze and move that programming out of life as hard. And so the name optimization process is about moving someone more quickly to aligning with the soul's purpose, and as that starts to happen, life flows more, is more joyful, and we actually get the goodies eventually that we're after, that we know deep in us that we need to go for.
Mm. And, like, is it just like one name change enough, or do you see that people choose different names at different stages of their own evolution or their own path?
Most people we work with, usually one name change is enough, but I've had some clients who have two or three or more name changes because they're going so fast. They may need initially a lot of power in their name to break through some strong ego programming, and then they say, well, I'm a bit fried from that, but I feel I've broken through some core stuff, and now I need more grounding, or I need more expansiveness, I need to connect more to people. Then we'd optimize the name to do that. And so the optimization process depends on the individual at a conscious level, what really rings true for them, what they really want to do with their life. It's not sort of preordained. The soul has many different ways it could actually experience a lifetime. And it's down to the individual at a personality level, which is a projection of the soul's energy to actually say, well, actually, this is what really makes my heart sing. I want to be grounded, and I actually want to really reach people. I want to network with lots of people and create groups of people to work with my work. And another may say, look, I want to create a business that helps youth do certain things, you know, get off the streets or whatever. And each soul has a range of things which will really satisfy it, which will really give it the experience it wants.
And what about for people who may just go through like a natural name change, for example, with a newly wedded wife, maybe possibly taking on the surname of a husband? Does that actually have an impact, and can you actually in advance look for an optimal husband with a nice sounding name that's going to like impact your life in a positive way?
Yeah, well, we can look at it, the system in terms of relationships. It's very powerful for that, because we're often drawn to people who are going to give us the complementary supporting energies to help us grow in certain ways, or they're going to really push our buttons strongly, because we draw certain partners to us to create the opposite context of what we want to become. It could be that a man needs to become more assertive, stronger in his life, and he needs a strong woman there. So initially she may push him around a bit until we work, and if he's conscious enough, he'll work out, okay, I've got to stand in my power. So her job is to help him stand in his power. She's setting that context. So he may feel initially disempowered, for example, but he may need to then step into his power. Or it could be that someone needs to come out of hiding or whatever, and so being with a new partner who can transmit the frequencies of openness and bringing someone deep out from within themselves out into the world, that may be what he needs or she needs. So we create partners which are contractually arranged before we come in very specific ways. And so if we can see it as another context and consciously engage with that context, relationships are very rich. It's not always what we expect, though, because we don't always know exactly what the soul's wanting to do. and sometimes it's hard to accept what's gone on. But if we look at the soul contract, we can actually see, okay, they are together. People are together for very specific reasons. And so a woman who changes her name, if she feels that urge, we look at the contract, there's probably a very good reason for it, because her soul's already worked out, okay, if I change to my husband's name, surname, that's going to give me those frequencies for now. And she may need to do that for a while, but then often women change back to their maiden names later on because they realize, actually, I don't need that. I need to actually move beyond that.
Great. Now, this one's actually sort of continuing along the lines of relationships as well, and this comes from Ivan in Namibia. And Ivan asks, if one's spouse is skeptical about one doing courses, how can one convince her that learning is most essential for development?
Well, I think in this case, this is one of these contextual situations where Ivan has created a situation where he's got to make a choice. Does he give in to this and not go on the courses he wants to go on and not grow? Or is it about him standing in his power and moving forward and taking that next step and probably finding that once he does that, then his wife says, okay, just lets it go. But she will just be doing what feels right to her. But he's actually creating that situation so that he can work through that resistance, work through the law of opposites and go for what he really wants. Then he will value that much more as well once he's taken that step. Although that can be very intense in a relationship. But the soul wants that emotional experience and intensity. That's how it remembers who it is. It remembers it's actually love.
That's very, very powerful. Okay, this one's from Kate in the UK, and she's actually got a series of questions, and they're all really, really good questions, so I thought I'd ask them as well. Question number one, are illnesses predetermined in soul contracts? Question number two, can one override some aspect of the soul contract, i.e. contract says to be single and you end up married? Part three, are disabilities predetermined by soul contracts? And part number four, can one go beyond the agreed terms of a soul contract by some action or deed?
Okay, I'll start with the first one. A soul contract can indicate the emotional holding programs that someone's likely to be carrying in their body. All right, and those stuck emotions, if they're not moving, because it's about emotion, which is the motion of energy, if they get stuck, then they can congeal and they can get to the point of physical illness. So yes, you can actually, and it's been mapped out. You can actually track the physical symptoms to an emotional program. That's all being worked out already in the alternative field. So yes, you can sort of associate some illnesses, or a lot of them, to what's actually in the contract. You can actually see, okay, this disempowerment pattern created this. And this, for example, someone was wanting to be very controlling and cold in the way, emotionally, the way they would work with people. You tend to find that that's a core program of people who have heart bypass surgery, for example, which is a pretty serious one, but their heart is not open. So yes, there's a definite yes to that answer, to that question. Now the second question about can one override an aspect of the soul contract? Not really. The example is, can if the contract says to be single and end up married, it wouldn't really say to be single, because it's more broad-based than that. It's more general direction that we go in. It's more like we go out of alignment to the contract, and then we find ourselves in difficult territory. Things don't work quite so well because we're not in alignment. So it's a choice, it's a free will choice. We can go out of alignment and do whatever we like, but life does get harder. But eventually, if we do awaken in consciousness, we can find actually life goes more smoothly. So yes, there's an answer. The answer is yes, but it's not a comfortable place to be. Our disability is predetermined by the soul contract. You can map them sometimes, depending on what it is, because the soul may want to have a specific limiting experience in the lifetime. But But sometimes you can't. Sometimes things, the soul has got other programming which is put in place, which it wants to. It wants to have that limitation, although from a human perspective, looking at it from the outside, it can be seen pretty harsh. Fourth question, can one go beyond the agreed terms of a soul contract by some action or deed? If someone is really on their spiritual path and is really consciously and being really motivated to work through their issues, you can actually work through a lot of it. Most people don't. But if you work through a lot of it, what often happens is that you get an upgrade where the soul will download more higher purpose into the consciousness take advantage of all the good work that's been done. So, yeah, you can go beyond it. Very occasionally we see that.
Great. That's good news for all spiritual seekers out there.
Yeah.
There's rewards of upgrades for work well done.
Yeah.
I just wanted to pick up on something you said there, Nicholas, as well. Just look on a individual level, someone being out of alignment with their particular soul contract. And one of the things I was interested in is the collective contract of humanity. Is there such a contract, and what sort of implications are there if people are like the collective are out of alignment with that actual contract as a body of people?
Well, you can measure consciousness of a collective, and if we're out of alignment, we sit at specific levels of consciousness. I think there's a book called Power versus Force by David Hawkins, who's kinesiologically measured the different states of consciousness that individuals are in, and then to the point of countries and to mankind in total. So, if a group of people are running at a specific level of consciousness, for example, say a whole group of people are running a workshop at a specific level of consciousness of, say, unconditional love, which is about 520 on that scale, they'll be resonating that frequency as a group, and they'll be able to do very amazing things at that level. But if you get back to normal sort of life, say a whole country, it may be resonating at, say, sub 200, which is just below the level of integrity, then people will act out of integrity. They'll do certain things where they'll say they do one thing and they'll do something else. So basically, with the levels of consciousness, it depends on who you're connecting with, really. And the lower the level of consciousness, the more alignment, out of alignment we are with spirit. So the idea is that with a collective is that if enough people raise their consciousness enough, then they'll affect everyone else, which is what the alternative field is about. If enough of us raise our consciousness, then it'll be the 100th monkey syndrome, where we actually only need a square root of the whole world's population to reach a sufficient level of consciousness, for example, that of unconditional love, to actually transform everyone else's consciousness and move everyone else up a level. So that's why working on ourselves, working on our own patterns, working through the very specific issues which a soul contract work can show us, benefits everyone overall. It's not just something we're just doing, on our own personal journey. Every time we break through a pattern and cut up another pathway in our own consciousness and raise ourselves a few points, we affect everyone else. And if we're all doing it like that, then eventually we hit a critical mass, then everyone awakens more.
Well, that's like an incredibly powerful byproduct of someone actually looking deeply inside themselves and doing that deep inner work.
Because some people aren't able to do that work, so we're actually doing it on behalf of many other people, because a higher level of consciousness will affect exponentially a lot of people. Someone at a high level of consciousness will affect exponentially a lot of other people at a lower level of consciousness. This is the reason the world is actually getting in better shape gradually, is because there are enough people of high consciousness level holding everyone else who are at a much lower level.
Great. That's amazing. Well, Nicholas, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and like I've certainly can say that I've made some very, very powerful distinctions for myself over the past 50 minutes or so. It's been absolutely fascinating to hear your journey with first of all, connecting with soul contract work and working with Frank Alpert to actually then bringing it out and carrying that torch forward and sharing it with people through your readings and also your trainings. And I know for people on the call, there's going to be lots of people who are actually interested in finding out more about your work. And I was just wondering if you could actually share in a little bit more detail how people can actually get the opportunity to work with you and also how they can find out more information and stay in touch with you.
Well, we have a website. It's center with an ER for F-O-R, consciousascension.net. I think you can access it from the schedule page on peopleyoushouldmeet.com. That talks all about the soul contract reading work and the other work we do. And for people on this call, we're offering a free 15-minute mini reading. We will tell you the essence of what's happening for you with either myself or my work partner, Almira. So that'll give you a taster of the power of the truth of this work. And then we also offer full readings, which are about an hour and a half, and they actually are where we look at all your birth certificate name and all the different names you've used and the different significant relationships you've had and other important people in your life, where we look at up to 12 different names, and we can basically lay out the roadmap of your life and see what the energy flow has been for you and put into context what you've been through and show you where you're going. And then from that, we can also make very specific recommendations on targeted healing processes to actually work through those issues. And it could be just changing the way you do things, but we can make recommendations for working through the karmic and the goal issues. And also the other part of that is we also offer work called light body integration, which is about the embodiment of higher consciousness into the physical body. And what that higher consciousness does is it awakens us, helps us remember that we are love, that we are all that is. And at the same time, it also displaces and pushes out the lower frequency programming in the contract, which keeps us asleep. And so that process is very much the roadmap for moving forward in life. We may also make recommendations that someone may need a name optimization, which is something we do later on once we've understood what the initial roadmap is like. But basically the work at a one-to-one level enables us to offer people the invitation to actually move forward and align with their true purpose here and lead a more fulfilling life, provided they're prepared to work on it and become conscious and become responsible for all things that they're creating in their life. And at a wider level, our aim is to also spread this work, and we offer training and actually offering readings in this work. And we have a level one training which teaches people, which will teach you how to actually deliver a good quality reading that can read the truth for someone else and reveal that roadmap and bring someone back to themselves and show them how they can align and work through their issues. And then there are a couple of other levels, and I'll talk about them briefly. There's a level two training, which is about the effects of name changes and relationships and how to describe the energy flows of those and how to help people optimize their name to really accelerate their life and move forward to maximum potential. And then there's another higher level called level three, which is we use in the outer world, in the business world, usually spiritual businesses, actually, where we help people understand how to align themselves and their business, all their products and services and their mission, everything in the business, to their own personal contract. Because when we align the person, their optimal name and their business and how the business is in the world, because the business is now a manifestation of themselves, then that business will really flourish. Because if we're connecting to the deepest passion, the deepest purpose of someone, and they can radiate that out in alignment into their business, then it all becomes one and the same. It all happens at once. So it's basically about overall alignment with soul purpose, this work, at many different levels, so that an individual or the soul can actually have the full experience it came here for, so it can remember that it is all it is.
That's
and the
great.
Next the next level one training is in the southeast of England in Surrey. It's on the 22nd to the 25th of September this year. And that's all on the website as well.
Great. And how would people actually go about booking onto that course, Nicholas?
They can, if they look under the menu item, Soul Contract Reading, they'll find the Level 1 training, and all the information about the training is there, and there's a booking form is there as well. Or they can just pick up the telephone and call us the old-fashioned way.
Great.
They can do that as well.
Excellent. And I guess for people considering the training, what kind of people have been drawn to the training in the past?
It's usually therapists, people with some experience of working with people. Sometimes not, though. Sometimes it's people who just had a reading who just want to start their own practice and do the work. So it's quite a range of people. And but from people who are already therapists, they often, what happens is they take the work and they use it to understand their clients immediately, on the spot, so then they use it as a framework to actually bring all their other healing modalities and whatever work they do, and they can then focus it very specifically on the issues which are running for the client at the time, because different parts of the contract more emphasize at different parts of people's development. Even but it just changes by the day, actually. People can have a shy day or a disempowerment day, and so it enables the therapist to much more carefully and target their work and to focus their work. And the key thing that happens is that once a client realizes that their therapist has read the truth of them, then they open up much more quickly and they will engage with their issues, because often they're not even sure what's going on. So the bringing of truth of that roadmap is a massive catalyst for change and growth and healing for people. And some people just come because they've had a reading and they have such a passion for the work, they just want to do it, and they're not too concerned how they go about it. But they'll find a way, because they just get drawn by the truth and the love of the work.
Mm.
And they just go off and share the truth with others, and it awakens other people. That's the beauty of it. It sort of never ceases to amaze me, just the power of what this does, even 19 years on after starting it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And do you find that people also drawn to the training who just really want to deeply go into their own process and understand why they're here and how to fully realize themselves without necessarily wanting to take it out and share it in a coaching context or a therapy context?
Yeah, that happens. Some people come because they do want to go deeper on their own journey, and they want to connect with it much more. It's often because they've connected with this energy a lot in the past. So yeah, that happens as well. So the main thing is it's about following what feels right. And sometimes people don't know why they've come, and they just turn up because they said, I've just got to be here. And they just turn up, and then it's revealed later. They discover later why they had to be there. So that's the main thing, really. It's got to feel right. There's got to be a magnetic draw for the work.
Great. Awesome. So I can just definitely sort of reiterate my own experience of having a soul contract reading a couple of weeks ago. It was very, very profound. And I look forward to doing deepening my understanding of the work as well over the years and months to come. Great. So that literally brings us to the end of the hour, Nicholas. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly for sharing your passion for soul contract work. And I really feel that's a very, very important tool and modality to be bringing more fully into the world. And I know lots of people go through intense suffering, and I guess a lot of it's through not really understanding the patterns and the karmic issues that they've come in to work with. And literally by illuminating those particular challenges, people have the opportunity to move through that and actually take that step forward to really manifesting fully what their soul has come to really express in the world. So I think it's just incredibly powerful work, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to honour you for dedicating your life to bringing about this reality for other people.
Thank you, Damien. It's been my pleasure to share this. Yeah.
Now, just to bring the call to a close, Nicholas, I was just wondering for people sitting at home thinking about their sole contract and whether or not they can negotiate it. If you had any closing words of advice for people on that journey.
I would say that anything is possible with consciousness, motivation, and courage. You can actually work through anything. You've just got to be patient, and it takes time, but it can be done, because it's all, each of your lives is just one big program, and with the program you can dismantle it and rewrite that program.
Great. Very, very powerful words. Well, thank you very much, Nicholas, and thank you everyone at home for your full participation. This was a very heavily subscribed call with people signing up from all around the world, and it's been a real pleasure to receive your questions in this week as every other week, and it's always great to receive your feedback on the calls as well. So do take the time to actually share the distinctions that you've made on the recordings page tomorrow when the audio is made available for free, because it does, not only is it good for yourself to express the things that are meaningful to you, but it also helps other people when you step forward and actually share and really allow other people to share in your distinctions and your learning as well. Great, so that's it. Thanks again, Nicholas, and thank you everyone at home.
Thank you, Damien.
Take care.
Okay.